God is good. Amen, church. God is good. And we've been talking about the goodness of God. Before we get into this, I heard, is there some kind of big football game today? Is that right? Who's playing anyway? Yeah. Any 49er fans in the house today? Yeah. Kansas City fans? Any? Oh, we got a few Kansas City Chief fans, all right. Amen, all right. Keep loving one another, all right. It's the body of Christ, all right, no matter how the game goes. We've been talking about the goodness of God, and yesterday we ended a very powerful season in our church life, and every year we start off our year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And what a powerful time this has been. I hope that you've been blessed by it and you're walking through the devotional that I wrote for you. I pray that that's been a blessing to you. Now, if you find yourself, you miss some days and you're not quite through, and or maybe you got behind the eight ball and didn't know what was going on, perhaps you're just hearing about it this morning, I just go ahead. Just keep going through it, right? You didn't miss it because the point is not, that you just check off the boxes. The point is to spend extra time with the Lord and grow in your relationship with Him and understand on a deeper level just how good God is. Now, next Sunday, as we continue talking about the goodness of God, I'm going to be talking about healing, how the Lord, in His goodness, He brings healing to our bodies and to our minds and to our hearts. The Lord is the healer. And so next week, I want to encourage you, if you need healing in any area of your life, you're going to want to be here. And if you know somebody that needs healing in their life, bring them. Get them to church, all right? And we're going to see what God can do. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. This is a theme scripture for Bethel Church for 2020. It's a scripture that the Lord laid upon my heart during my sabbatical this summer. All year, in one way or another, we're going to continue to talk about the goodness of God, because there's power in that. There's power as we meditate on and we think about and we talk about and sing about the goodness of God. Psalm 145, verses 3 through 7 is kind of our foundation. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. So this is our theme for the year, and in particular, we're focusing on verse 4. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. So the goodness of God is something we need to read about, we need to hear about, we need to meditate on, we need to declare, we need to sing about, and ultimately, we need to pass this understanding of the goodness of God on to the next generation. Amen? That we want our young people to know just how awesome our God is. Now, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but when we talk about the goodness of God, when we say God is good, we're not using the English word good the way that it's used a lot of times. A lot of times when we use the word good, it's kind of good by comparison. Right? So we say something is good or it's better or it's best or it's good or it's great or it's greatest. When we talk about God, that's not how this word is being used, because of course, God is the ultimate greatest. Amen? When we talk about God being good, we're talking about His goodness in terms of how He relates to us. That God is good to us, and He's good to us in so many ways, that He forgives our sins, that Jesus came to die on a cross for us, that He fills us with His Spirit, that He blesses us, that He heals, that He provides. So God is good in how He relates to us. And last week, we focused on God's faithfulness, that in God's goodness, He is always faithful to us. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know if you got anything out of last Sunday's message, but I did. And all week long, I was just so caught up in dwelling upon and meditating on just how faithful God's been to me. And so whenever I speak to you, it's always coming from my heart, and it's coming from what God's doing in my life as well. So as I've been meditating on the faithfulness of God all week long, I wrote a poem. I wrote a poem about the faithfulness of God. And I got to tell you, when I write a poem, it is foreign territory to me. I am such a right brain person. Once in a while, my left brain just like awakens. And then I have to do something artistic, and then I get it out of my system, and then I can get back to my right brain where I'm most comfortable, all right? So let me just share, all right? Let's share the little poem that I wrote this past week. And again, this is just like a reflection from my own personal story and my relationship with the Lord. And this poem is probably going to bless me way more than it blesses you. But I'm hoping some of this at least will resonate in your heart. It's called Better, all right? So as you were in the beginning, you will be at the end. You have proven yourself over and over, shepherd, king, and faithful friend. Knowing me like no one else, better than this man deserves, deeper than the deepest sea is your love for me. Sweetness on my bitter tongue, oil for a hardened soul, healing salve on battle scars, love to melt a heart grown cold. Knowing me like no one else, better than this man deserves, deeper than the deepest sea, is your love for me. No, 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 no. You're way too kind. You're way too kind. God is good. Amen, church? God is good. Now, we're going to do something together. It's pretty simple. You've probably seen this before or heard it before. I'm going to say God is good, and you're going to say all the time. And then I'm going to say all the time, and you're going to say God is good. Okay? You ready? God is good?
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Oh, very good. Yeah. God is good all the time. Now, this morning, I'm going to take a little different slant because I want to talk about a question that I know comes up in our hearts, and that is that how about those times when things are hard in our lives, when things are difficult, or God seems distant, and it seems like the world is against us? What do we do with that? How do I continue to believe in the goodness of God when all the circumstances around me seem to be in direct contradiction to my understanding of who God is? What do I do in those moments? Because as a Christian, we're regularly faced with this seeming contradiction. On the one hand, we've experienced the goodness of God. We declare the goodness of God. We've seen the goodness of God in so many ways. We read about the goodness of God in the Bible. We read all these great stories about how Jesus healed people, how Jesus touched the sick, how he fed the hungry, how he touched lepers with his bare hands, how he raised people from the dead. We see all these stories that reflect the goodness of Jesus. And then on the other hand, we see the absolute horrors of this world. And from time to time, we experience tragedy in our own lives. And that's when we ask ourselves the question, is God really good? Can I declare with confidence that God is good when all of these things are happening around me that seem to contradict that? Now listen, as I talk about this, I know this. I know that when someone is really going through a hard time, they really don't need pat answers and Christian cliches. And we're guilty of that sometimes. So I don't want to do that. And I also know that even though I've been through some difficult times in my life, I know that many of you here, because I know your stories, I know many of you here, the pain that I've experienced in my life pales in comparison to the things you've gone through in your life. So I'm not here to try to tell anybody how you should feel today. That's not my job. That's never my job, to tell you how you should feel. What is my job and my responsibility is to teach you what God's Word has to say about these things and have an honest conversation about them. Because my hope is then that the Word of God becomes the foundation for your life, not your feelings, right? Feelings are wonderful. They're beautiful. They're a gift from God. And we don't want to run from our feelings or hide our feelings. At the same time, we don't want to try to build our lives on our feelings. We want to build our lives on the truth of God's Word, all right? And so I want to just go after this topic a little bit, and I'm going to start with a passage of Scripture that unfortunately kind of gets used as a pat answer and a cliche. So I want to unpack this Scripture, and my hope is that this one verse is going to mean so much more to you when you leave this place today than it ever has before. And it's Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Okay? This is a powerful, powerful promise. It's one of those promises that gets spoken a lot, and so sometimes it can kind of lose its power in our lives because we hear it over and over again. But my prayer for you today is you're going to come to a deeper understanding of just how powerful this promise is, okay? And I'm going to give us this morning from this verse three declarations, three faith declarations that we can say with confidence based on this Scripture, okay? And the first one is this: God is at work in my life, okay? Everybody say that together. God is at work in my life. God is always working. Even when you don't understand what He's doing or see what He's doing, Jesus said this: my Father is always working to this very day, and I too am working. Jesus said God is always working. He's always working. He's always working in our lives. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus is referred to as the author and perfecter of our faith, all right? So Jesus started a story in your life, and He's continuing to work in that story in your life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, this is a great promise: He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God is working in your life, through every circumstance, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God is at work in our lives, all right? Second declaration of faith is this: God is never going to give up on me. All right, let's say that out loud together. God is never going to give up on me. Yeah. So notice a couple of things in that 28th verse again, the very end. God is working. He's working for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know Jesus today because He called you, right? He called you, and He has a purpose for your life. So for every one of us, I want you to know there's a purpose, a plan, and a destiny, and no matter how many times we slip up, no matter how many times we're tripped up and fall, God is never going to give up on us. Amen? I mean, who's thankful for that one today? God is never going to give up on us. So I want to encourage you with that truth. First of all, don't give up on yourself. God's not giving up on you. Don't you give up on yourself, right? And secondly, don't give up on others, right? God's not giving up on them. God has not given up on your son or your grandson. God has not given up on that nephew. God has not given up on them, so you don't give up either. Amen. You keep praying for them, and don't give up. Don't quit. God is at work. God is at work. And God is not going to give up on us. And then the third declaration of faith I want to make today, and we're going to spend the remainder of our time on this one. God is fully committed to my good. Okay, let's read that out loud together. God is fully committed to my good. Okay, now notice I didn't say to my comfort, because we want God to be committed to our comfort. Come on, admit it. And I didn't say God is committed to my immediate happiness, right? God is committed to our long-term happiness, to our eternal happiness. God is committed to my good, all right? So then the question comes, what good could possibly come from this thing I'm going through, right? I mean, what good could really come out of this, all right? And I'm going to give you five things that the scripture declares that God is doing in our lives when we're going through a difficult time. Now, I'm going to use the word tribulation today. Tribulation, not a word that we use every day, but I'm going to use the word tribulation. You could substitute the word difficult or trial or hardship, a lot of different things, pain, but I'm going to use the word tribulation today, all right? And I'm going to share with you five things. Now, these are all things from Scripture. Every one of us is unique. Our story is unique. God is going to work personally in our lives. So even before I give you these five things, I want to encourage you with this. When you're going through a difficulty or a trial, the person you should talk to the most about that difficulty is God himself. Amen? You talk to him about it. Because God is going to give you answers. He might not give you the answers that you want right when you want them, but God is going to answer your questions in his goodness. By the way, I got to say this, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular today. We've probably all said this or heard this at least. We've heard the statement, man, when I get to heaven, I got some questions I'm going to ask God. Okay. Listen, we're so silly. We're so silly. Do we really think on Judgment Day we're going to be the ones calling God to account for how he handled things? I don't think so, folks. Right? But I will say this. I will say this. God doesn't owe us answers. But because he loves us, he does give us answers. Amen? And I believe that one day, even if it's not in this life, everything is going to be made clear to us. It really is. And we should trust God with that. So let me give you five things from Scripture that we know that God is doing when we go through different trials. The first one is this. Tribulations test our priorities. Tribulations test our priorities. I was reading the other day in the book of Genesis chapter 15 where God refers to himself to Abraham. He's talking to Abraham. And he says to Abraham, I am your shield and your very great reward. I am your shield and your very great reward. Church, we need to learn to treasure Jesus above all else in life. Amen? Above everything else, we treasure Jesus. But sometimes we get so invested in the wrong things that we can't let go of them. And quite honestly, for us to let go of them, sometimes God has to pry our fingers off of them and say, you're looking for happiness and peace in the wrong place. And so sometimes as we go through a tribulation, it's God using that tribulation to take our eyes off the things of the world and get our eyes back on him. Amen? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4 says this, remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. So this is a proverb about God working in our lives, and the dross is, of course, the impurity, and how God turns up the heat sometimes, and those impurities come out, right? And it's God's refining process because God is doing something in us, and in our case as Christians, he is shaping us into the image of Jesus, right? And part of that means some of those things that have been holding us back, we got to let go of those things. And God is at work helping us to do that. Tribulations test our priorities. Secondly, tribulations tenderize our hearts to the pain of others. Tribulations tenderize our hearts to the pain of others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. I mean, let's face it. Our human nature tends toward selfishness. The old man, the unredeemed man, can be so insensitive to the pain of others. And there's nothing that makes us more sensitive to the feelings of others than us going through that thing ourselves, right? And so in our insensitivity to others' feelings, God changes us. He changes our hearts. He fills us with His Holy Spirit. And that takes us a long ways. But sometimes what needs to happen, and God knows this, is He allows us to go through a trial, go through a pain, and then God uses that in our lives to be a blessing to other people. And I want to encourage you, church. It's so important that in church we are able to take off the Christian mask and tell our story. Right? Because there's going to be someone else in the body that has gone through that or is going through it right now that needs to hear your story. They need to hear. And where the enemy wants to keep us locked up with shame and embarrassment so that none of us will be real with one another, God wants to help us bring those walls down in His unconditional love. Amen? So that we can get real with one another, right? And share our story and allow that story to minister hope and healing to somebody else. Yeah. And this is what God does with our suffering. A third thing that God does is tribulations chasten us and warn us of pending danger. They chasten us and warn us of pending danger. Hebrews chapter 12 explains how God is the perfect Father. Endure hardship as discipline, it says. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest. What kind of harvest? A harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So when God allows us to go through things, it's always for our good, church. It's always to bring us back to that place where He wants us to be, all right? And the end result, as the writer of Hebrews says here, is God's goal for us is righteousness and peace. Now, that's interesting. Righteousness and peace. Because our tendency when we go through something painful is to run from it, right? I mean, we're looking for the nearest exit. God, get me out of here. Right? We don't want to be there. It's painful, right? This is why so many people are quit their jobs, give up on relationships, quit their church. This is why people turn to alcohol and drug abuse and marijuana and pornography, because that's their way out. It's their escape from the very thing that God is trying to use to bless them, right? And God will use these things for our good. So sometimes we're running for the very thing that God wants to use in our lives. And he's doing it to bring righteousness and peace. Listen, church, there's so much anxiety in our world, so much anxiety. And people are trying to find freedom from anxiety, and they're trying to find peace in so many different ways, and they're finding, man, none of that's working. Listen, can I tell you the cure for anxiety and peace is drawing closer and closer to Jesus? Amen? I mean, there's a reason the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace, right? He's got the peace we're looking for. And God will allow these hardships to work in our lives to draw us back to him so he can give us true peace. Now, I'm going to give you parents a little tip here this morning when it comes to all of this. And again, I'm not trying to tell anybody how you should parent your kids, because your kids are different from our kids. But I'll just share something about how Janice and I parented our kids. As our kids were growing up, they had a lot of great teachers, a lot of great instructors, music instructors, athletic coaches. They had a lot of really good people that spoke into their life. But every once in a while, they had a coach or a teacher that wasn't so good, right? And that just was unfair or didn't seem to care or just didn't handle things the right way. And there was a temptation to say, well, I'm just going to get my kid out of that class. They're just going to quit the baseball team, you know, because I don't like that coach. Janice and I, we just never did that. Why? Because we knew one day our children, they were going to have a boss they didn't like, right? They were going to have a conflict with someone at church. There was going to be something else that came up. And so rather than teaching them the escape route of saying every time there's a conflict or a difficulty, you just get out of it, we taught them to lean into Jesus and let Jesus help you love people that are difficult to love. Amen? Man, it's getting hot in here. Yeah. Teaching our kids the nearest escape hatch is not always the best for them, right? They learn, just as we learn, to depend on the Lord to get them through that thing, to help them, okay? Next thing is this: tribulations produce in us a deep longing for heaven, a deep longing for heaven. Tribulations are an opportunity to remind ourselves that this world is not our home, right? And when we're going through things, it makes us long for the things of God even more. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no longer hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Yeah. So as we're going through the tribulations of this life, it's a reminder to us that things aren't the way that God designed things to be in this world. They're just not. And it reminds us that God is going to restore all things to perfection, right? And so we long for that day, and we wait for it patiently. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up as I give you this fifth one. And that is this: tribulations remind us of our need to depend on Christ, to depend on Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. In order to keep me from becoming conceited, this is the Apostle Paul writing this, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Anybody ever been there? Yeah? God, where's the escape hatch? Take it away, right? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Woo! Yeah. Amen, amen. Now, listen, in this passage of Scripture, Paul makes it very clear that the difficulty that he had didn't come from God. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was. There's been a lot of debate about that one. And notice he calls it, it's a messenger from Satan. He says, God didn't put this on me. God is not the one who instigated this. God didn't cause this, but God will use it, right? The devil might have started this thing, but God's going to finish it, right? God's going to use it. So in your life, I want you to know, God doesn't do evil things to his children, but he will use those things for our good. He will use them. And this is the way that God demonstrates his total goodness to us, his children. All right? So three affirmations of faith this morning. All right? Let's give these together. Let's read this out loud. God is at work in my life. God is never going to give up on me. God is fully committed to my good. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you haven't been walking with the Lord and you're looking at your own life and right now it just kind of feels like you're in a place of confusion or wandering and it's not making any sense to you and there's an emptiness about your life, I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves you. He cares for you. He came into this world and he died on a cross because he loves you so much and he is committed to your good. Now you might be thinking to yourself, but Tim, you don't get it. I've done a lot of bad stuff in my life and I'm not serving God. Listen, I want you to know, no matter what you've been doing or where your heart has been, I want you to know God still loves you. He hasn't stopped loving you. And if you're here today and you want to open your heart to Jesus Christ, now is your opportunity to do that. I'm going to lead those of you who'd like to pray to receive Christ into your life in a very simple prayer right where you're at. But to let me know that you want to do that, you want to open your heart up to Jesus today, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you'd like to open your heart to Jesus, you'd like to pray with me to commit your life to Christ or make a recommitment of your life to Jesus, I want you to do me a favor and just raise your hand up when I get to three. And then I'm going to lead you in prayer. All right? When I get to three, you raise your hand up. One, two, three. Yeah. God bless you, sir. Others, right back here. Awesome. Any others today? Yeah, right over here. God bless you, man. Others today. God's at work in your life. God's working in your heart. Today is your day. Open your heart to him. Let him come in. Give God a chance. Give God, what have you got to lose? What you're doing now isn't working. Give God a chance to work in your life. Anybody else? All right, those of you who raise your hand, you can put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. And church, would you pray with me, with those who have given their, that have raised their hand this morning? Lord Jesus, come on, out loud, everybody. Lord Jesus, I bring my life to you today. God, I believe that you love me in spite of myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you have risen from the dead. So, Lord, today, I open my heart up to you. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, right now, I give my life to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.